What an amazing, amazing conference it's been. I feel like the depth of what God has been saying and doing is some of the deepest stuff I've heard released. You know, he's just been reaching into those places that he would transform us into the people that he's called us to be. So I'm just so grateful, grateful, grateful to God. You know, the whole kind of wing mirror thing. You know, the reason we have wing mirrors is because we have blind spots. And I feel like when God sends us gifts like that, certainly in my life, it's like he always uses those gifts to highlight blind spots. And then we can see. And then we adjust things in our lives. And suddenly, we're walking in a way we couldn't walk before. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Praise God, praise God. I want to start by asking you a question. And it's this. Who is God to you? Who is he to you? I just want you to think about your answer for a moment. Who is God to you? The first sense of who he is, the first couple. Who's God to you? Just shout out a few people. Father, someone else, faithful one, provider, shelter, best friend. Yes, I got a fresh revelation of him being my best friend a couple of weeks ago. Anyone else? Love. Lover of my soul, protector, amen. I want you to hold some of these thoughts. Have I missed anyone? Comforter, ha ha, that's what you carry. So hold those thoughts for now. And I want us to turn to Hebrews 11 and verse 5. And it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Let me just stop there for a moment. Scripture says it's appointed for all men once to die. And yet there was something about this man, Enoch, that God just said, you know what? I am bypassing the normal course of things. There's something about this man that's different. That he never saw death. So it says, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. This is a powerful testimony. Turn to your neighbor, look at them, do not touch them, even though Ronkadere is here. Don't punch them, don't kick them, don't beat them. But just turn to your neighbor and say, this is the best testimony. Would you agree with me? That God is pleased? Oh my goodness. What a testimony. Imagine if the one thing that singled you out was that testimony. That God looks at you and says, I'm pleased. That was his most unique testimony. We all have many testimonies, but that was his testimony before God. So I want us to understand what it was about this man that made God himself single him out. Would you like to know too? Yes. And the thing is, when we see people in scripture and there's not much said about them, and yet what is said is really profound. You know, an example which was touched on twice in the conference, if you ever needed a confirmation, the prayer of Jabez. Go to the prayer of Jabez. I really know that was from God. But you know, when not much is said about someone, and yet what is said is this profound, then we've got to wake up on the inside and say, there's something that God wants me to get. And so we're going to look at this man, Enoch. And so I want to turn to Genesis 5, and we're going to start at verse 21. Genesis 5:21, and I'm in the Amplified. And, you know, let me tell you something. You know, again, especially when there's not much to know about someone, then we've got to look at everything we can. And so let me start by telling you what the name Enoch means. You know, the name Enoch means dedicated. Got to remember, God looks and said, wow, this one's different. You know, how many of you want to excel? Speaking of Daniel, it said that he excelled. And he was it 5 times better than all the others or 10 times better? 10 times better. You know, God wants you to stand out. He wants to bless you for the sake of those around you. He wants to pile up his good things on you. Say, that's my portion. And here we have Enoch, and the first thing we know about him is that his name meant or means dedicated. There's something else. Well, I'll come to it. So it says, when Enoch was 65 years old, then it says, Methuselah was born. And then it carries on. And it says, Enoch walked in habitual fellowship with God after the birth of Methuselah. Right? Just stop halfway through that verse, and that's all you're looking at right now. So there was something about the arrival of this little boy called Methuselah that changed Enoch. Are you getting this? Because before he had this baby, he was like you and me. Let me just tell you something. How many of you here, you would say, I'm not a multitasker? You know what? Like they always say women are multitaskers. How many women, you're definitely a multitasker? Put up your hand if you're a multitasker. You know you can. Yes, you can. Okay. I mean, I'm very focused. And sometimes, you know, the very thing that's your gift is also like your weakness. There's times when my husband will say, did you not hear? Hear what? Because 6 times he's asked me to do something and I'm literally locked away in that moment of what I'm doing. So I don't hear a word of it. But you see, it's not just women that have the gift of multitasking. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can multitask. Now, I'm serious here. I want you to grasp this. Turn to your other neighbor. Remember, we're not touching or kicking or kissing or any of those things. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't you touch me. But tell them, I'm a multitasker. Let me explain. I'm gonna get onto that in a moment. But there was something about Enoch having this little baby that changed him. And so I looked up, because we don't know much about these things, and so we've got to look at every word and make every word count. Well, you see, Methuselah, let me tell you what it means. It means a man of attack. A man of weapons, a man of spear. So you see, I am convinced, because Enoch will have given this little baby boy this name for a reason. You see, I think something must have happened because he changed. Something must have happened around the birth of this little boy that changed Enoch. And I believe that he went through some kind of trial or test or trauma that marked him. Now, let me say something to you about this. Because, you know, we can very easily think, oh, you know what, water off a duck's back, nothing touches me. You know, I go through all sorts of stuff, nothing ever affects me. Can I make a statement after about 15 years of ministering to the human heart? And that's the one area that God's called me to be a specialist. You know, let me tell you, trauma changes you. Let me say that again. Any trauma you go through changes you. Now, we choose how it changes us. I want you to grasp this. You see, whether it's a big trauma, whether it's a trauma of things being said at work that were really wounding, whether it's the trauma of a car crash. Let me use that as an example, just to prove this. You might say, oh no, trauma never changes. I've been through stuff, I don't get affected. You know what? You're driving down the motorway, someone crashes into the side of your car. From that day forth, until you deal with it, every time you see car brakes go on in front of you, trauma changes you. Once bitten, twice shy isn't just some, you know, it's because it's true. When we go through things, they impact our lives. You know, my husband, when he was talking about marriage today and we were celebrating a wedding anniversary, he referenced where scripture says about marriage that they will leave and cleave. You know, I saw something, because marriage is a mystery, but it's also a type and a shadow of our relationship with God. Right. Do you know what? When trauma comes, you either leave or cleave. Let me explain. You either just slightly shut down on the inside and put up some sort of little barrier, or you draw closer. You know, you hear people say, you know, don't be bitter. Don't grow bitter. Be better. You've heard that? Let me take that a step further, which I'm convinced of. We either get bitter or we get better. Wow. And let me explain. You see, we either slightly harden our heart. We either slightly distance ourselves. We either slightly change one way or the other. Every single trauma, every trial, every test, every tragedy will change us. But here's the question. How is it going to change you? You see, we can either stay in that place of total denial and say, oh no, they've never affected me. Or we start to really allow that the light of God's Spirit to shine into our hearts and show us, do you know what? It did change me. You see, something about Enoch. There was something that went on with the birth of this little boy, which changed him. And he cleaved. That word cleave just means stick. You know, like when you're glued to something, it means cling. Something happened in Enoch's heart where he just said, you know what? I am now committing my life to fellowship. And this is why I was talking about multitasking. Turn to your neighbor again and say, you can multitask. How many of you who have, you know, you have someone you're a bit romantic about? You know, I can hold his hand while I'm talking to someone. I can even be rubbing his leg under the table while plenty of people are sitting around and no one else knows, but I'm multitasking. You see, Enoch went on to have loads of other sons and daughters. Life was still continuing, but he was still fellowshipping. He still walked in habitual fellowship with God through every single season of his life. Let me just make a statement. You were created for fellowship. We weren't made for worship. Worship is one of the ways that we fellowship. I always say worship is just like cuddling God. I mean, the word worship means kiss. It's one of the meanings of it in the Hebrew. But it's just like cuddling God. We were made for fellowship. So you see, as well as whatever else we're designed to do, you see, the reason we've all got unique calls as well as some generic calls, we're all designed for fellowship. But you see, the reason we've got to reach out to other people is so that they can fellowship too. You see, God had too much love just to keep to himself. And so he had to make man in his own image. If what he wanted was worship, he'd have just made another troop of angels. Yes. But he made you and me in his own image for fellowship. Amen. But you see, trauma and trials change you. One way or the other. You know, there was a powerful word that Prophet Sharon released yesterday. It was like her whole message was a word. Wasn't that right? It was like she just prophesied. But she talked about how some of you have created fail-safe zones. Honestly, that word cut me in two. I did as much repenting these few days as anything else. Instantly, God, I'm sorry. And let me explain. Do you remember I said trauma changes you? Trials change you, either one way or the other. And listen, in every tragedy and every trauma, there's something we can do that will draw us nearer. You know, my husband last night, when he was ministering, was talking about when our daughter died. And you know, the honest truth is, I couldn't pray at that time because every time I shut my eyes to pray, all I wanted to talk about was the fact that my baby had gone. And I struggled with reading the word because every time I opened the Bible, I saw verses. It was like healing was on every page I could see. But I found something I could do. There's always something you can do. Whatever you're in, there's always something you can do that is going to take you out of self and into the presence of the Lord. And I found praise. I found praise after my daughter died. And that's one thing I could do. And there was one song I used to sing again and again. I don't know if you remember, I'd be in the room and just sing, "You have turned my morning into dancing." Listen, my daughter has been in the grave days and I'm singing, "You have turned." And I was not even realizing I was prophesying my way out of my pit by praising. You see, when trauma hits, whether it's in school, whether it's in family, whether it's at work, whether it's a virus showing up. You know, we got the news yesterday, US, UK travel ban, right? And I'm supposed to be getting on an aeroplane in about 10 days, so I'm not. Right? And so what do we do? That's why I loved the fact that we need joy to become our partner. Because if joy is our partner, then we can reach our destination. And so we need joy to be our partner. As Prophet Sharon was sharing yesterday, we need, powerful joy to be our partner. But at the right moment, it's easy for joy to be your partner when you just got a promotion. But you see, you need joy to be your partner when stress is hitting you in every direction. You need joy to be your partner when you get bad news. You need joy to be your partner when confusion hits you. You shall go out with joy. Because if we go out with joy, and if there's anyone called Joy in the house, don't worry, I'm not advertising you. But if we go out with joy, then we're going to continue on the right journey. You see, so that news came, travel ban. I'm like, whoa, okay. You know, because you see, this is what we've got to realize. Things are going to happen in life which suddenly change the way it was a minute ago. And what are we going to do in those moments? You see, even when we are fellowshipping with God, what could have been a trauma isn't one. Can I say that again? What could have been a trauma isn't one. Because I went, okay, God, right, what are we going to do? And you know what? I wasn't worried about the contract signed. And I just thought, you know, silver and gold, thousand hills, cattle. Not that I need a cow, but hey, you know, you get my point. Same, same. But I'm just thinking, okay, we need to. And suddenly something arose on the inside. I was like, wow, plan B suddenly became so much more exciting than plan A. You see, when we face trauma in fellowship, when we cleave rather than leave, you know, every time we panic, we are leaving.
Wow, that's a great word.
You say, why? Why? Surely God's compassionate. Panic is rooted in fear, and fear opposes God and believes the devil, whereas faith brings us near to God and pleases him. So if I panic, I'm pushing away the presence of the Lord and I'm now going to try and handle it all on my own.
Right.
Don't panic in this season.
Yeah.
Cleave. Draw close. He's here. So I'm suddenly in that moment. I'm not going to panic. Okay. Plans are changing. That's all good. And I'm like, wonder what the plan... Suddenly, I knew. I knew what plan B was. Suddenly, plan B seems like this huge, amazing opportunity. Oh my goodness, we're going to have our first online event. Not only that, And I've seen it all here. I haven't even spoken to the technical team, but on the day we were due to do Refresh in Washington, D.C., we're going to be in here. We're going to be ministering to camera with a team. And you know what? We won't just reach Washington, D.C. We can reach the whole of America. We can reach anyone who wants to tune in. And God even had already given me the infrastructure back in December. I saw something back then. And then I spoke to Olga. I was saying, will you translate? I want us to go in to be interpreted into Spanish, because there are so many Spanish speakers who follow the ministry now. She said, you already told me. I said, I haven't told you. I just got the idea at 11 p.m. What do you want? No, you told me you were wearing exact jacket when you... I said, I'm wearing my jacket for the first time. She suddenly went, I dreamt it. She said, I saw it here. Listen, when trauma hits, we need to cleave. Don't leave the presence of God. Cleave to the one who designed you for fellowship. You can have sons, daughters, you can birth projects, you can run companies, you can change photocopying paper while you're fellowshipping. Right. You can go out for dinner while you're fellowshipping. There's nothing that has to interrupt our fellowship. You see, trauma changes us, but we choose whether we somehow get a little bitter. Is your heart, I was hearing these words. You know, we go from faith to faith, glory to glory. You see, that's supposed to happen. I can't remember the verse where it talks about in our giving, in our speaking, in our love, in every area of our lives, we're supposed to be advancing. So here's a question for you. Are you further forward in the way you talk today than you did a year ago? Are you further forward in your reactions? Are you further forward in your giving? Are you further forward in your faith? Are you further forward in every area of life? You see, if we're fellowshipping 24/7, everything becomes easier. Tell your neighbor you can multitask. I remember the first time I felt the presence of God descend on me when I was in a secular meeting. I remember who I was working with, construction skills at the time. I mean, imagine construction. Yeah, we're talking builders. And I was working with the body that oversees standards. And I'd been with the Lord and talking to him. And I walked into a meeting, sat down. And I suddenly noticed, oh my goodness, the anointing's come in the meeting. What's it doing here? Holy Spirit, why did you come into this meeting? Like, I mean, I know you should be with me when I preach, but why are you with me? He never leaves us, never forsakes us, but he wants to be with us in his manifest presence 24/7. Trauma changes you, but how will it change you? I can honestly tell you that we're both better people for having a baby die. Truth? I can honestly tell you that seeing my spiritual mum die before her time just a few months ago, I grew. More love on the inside now. You see, every trauma, every time someone wounds us, hurts us, belittles us, we have a choice. Are our hearts going to grow hard? Or are we going to be tenderized? Sometimes you know what tenderizing looks like? Anyone seen a steak mallet to tender? But you see, we have a choice. Enoch pleased God. Wow. Now, I want us to jump back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11, and now we're at verse 6. Now, this is the verse we all know. Now, this is what I want you to realize. So, this verse is coming out of God talking about Enoch. So, God's talking about the fact that Enoch really pleased me. Oh, my goodness, Enoch pleased me. He blessed my heart so much that I've treated him differently to any other human being on the face of the earth. I mean, maybe Elijah. Any other human being on the face of the earth. Hebrews 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and. That he is a rewarder. How many of you want to please God? You see, for us to please God, nobody here said rewarder. I said, who's God? You said Father. You said Lover. You said Healer. You said all those other amazing and completely true attributes of our amazing God. But in the very verse, the foundational verse of faith, God is saying to you and me that to really, really have the faith that pleases me, not just the faith that moves mountains. I want to move a mountain, but I want to please my daddy God in heaven. The kind of faith that will pull down from heaven everything you need to live the life that will bring glory to Jesus depends on you believing he is and that he is your rewarder. Not that he's the one that stood back and didn't intervene. You see, trauma changes you, but trauma also changes your view. Something happened, I believe, in the birth of this little boy, Methuselah, but somehow Enoch said, it's not going to change my view of you. Something happened that was difficult, that he went through stuff, but he said, I still know that you're a good God. I still know, not just even that you're good, but that you're looking for the opportunity to reward me. How many parents here and you just look for opportunities to reward your children? I mean, you know, every time Daisy walks into our house, you know, is she 10 now? Every time she walks into our house, I mean, like my husband is searching for reasons to put his hand in his pocket. I mean, no joke. So she'll be walking and he'll say, Chunks, that's what he calls her. How are you, Chunks? And he'll give her a big hug. And then he'll go, I heard that you got like 7 out of 10 in your maths test. And she'll go, yeah, that's it. Puts his hand in his pocket and rewards her. He has a box on his bedside table, on his nightstand. And it's a box that he puts money in for Daisy. Anytime he's got change that's under a kind of fiver, probably. I mean, it's not the twos and ones, I assure you. He puts it in the box. And then whenever Daisy comes out, have you been up and checked the box? He's a rewarder. You see, God wants you to have a revelation of who he is. He wants to reward you. But what happens is not only does trauma and trial change you, it changes your view. Your view of who God is to you. And so you can say, God's our healer, but really he's not my healer. You can say, God is our provider, but you know what? You're hearing me. Because trauma changes your view, but we get to choose. Say to your neighbor, we get to choose. You know, one of the things in this chapter that for me is like a mind-blowing moment in Hebrews 11 is where we see all these different men and women being highlighted by the Holy Spirit for their faith. And then we get to Joseph. You see, we need an eternal perspective. We need to get out of this temporal place where we think it's all about what we want today and tomorrow. God loves you and he wants to reward you. But there's this big picture. There's this amazing huge planet and he wants to use you as a conduit, as a channel of blessing. And for that, you need to believe that he's a rewarder. You see, you get to Joseph and suddenly it doesn't say, you know, and Joseph, rose up out of prison and became prime minister by faith. Joseph saw his dreams come to pass by faith. Now it says, Joseph, when he was dying, said, make sure my bones go to the promised land. What was he doing? He was saying, do you know what? I see the big picture. I see that although there are all these different things in my life that God wanted me to come, this isn't for all of you. This is just for some of you, because this is quite a deep thing. But sometimes we have to reach this place where we realize I'm a cog in this amazing wheel. And so the little things might sometimes go out of place. But there's this big picture of what God wants to accomplish. And I have this divine part in eternal destiny. And so I have to get over all the issues on the inside so that I can see a heavenly perspective. That's how Paul was able to look at his life. Shipwreck, shivering all night long, beaten, stoned, and go momentary light afflictions. Because he had a heavenly perspective. He was seeing the big picture. He was saying, God, I want the big picture to come to pass. You see, we get to choose how trauma impacts us. We get to choose what the trials do to us. You know what? Will I look back on that season where things, if you could help me, Carlian, you know, am I going to look back on that season where things were so difficult in my marriage? And am I just going to say, oh, I don't want to look back at that. Just heal my heart, Lord, you know, but I just don't want to look back. That's yucky. That's in the past. Or am I going to say, Father, heal my heart so deep on the inside. Do a work so transformation on the inside. And then, Lord, make me a weapon of war. Make my life an act of vengeance on behalf of every marriage that needs to be restored. You see, God wants to do a work in us. We choose. If your heart is a bit hard towards certain people that it used to be tender towards, you see, God's saying, the trauma changed you. You know, has disappointment. Last year was tough for me, and I realized I'd created a fail-safe zone in my own mind. I thought, you know what? I'm not going to have expectations that are too high this year. I'm just going to lower my expectations a bit. Because the disappointment, the trauma of disappointment changed me until I repented. I said, God, forgive me. Because he wants a people who will arise, who will be lighthouses in the midst of a storm, who will be beacons that others can look to and know that there is hope. I want to ask you to stand. Thank you, Jesus. Just with your eyes shut, there were little nuggets going out there. Today, some of you are realizing, because God is saying to some of you, I'm calling you into perpetual fellowship, where joy is your partner, where peace keeps you and constrains you, where love is your answer, where hope is always there before you. Some of you, he's saying, you've seen me as one who stands by and watches when I'm your rewarder. I'm your rewarder. I'm your rewarder. Right now, just shut your eyes and lift up your hands in the presence of God. And also, some of you need to make that decision right now. I've given my life to see trauma uprooted from people's hearts. That is why we birthed this ministry, Healed for Life, so that everyone can live a life that can give glory to God. But make a decision right now that you won't be blind to the effects of trials, traumas, that your heart will be open that you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. Father, we ask that we would be those that walk in perpetual fellowship with you. Thank you, Almighty God, that you reward me. Just say it out loud, Heavenly Father. Thank you that you are my rewarder, that you reward my faithfulness, that you reward dedication, that you reward me as I serve you. Thank you, Father. I give you all the praise and all the glory.